This episode is brought to you by Dr. Marty Mushrooms. Are you looking to boost your health and wellness? Dr. Marty has created some incredible functional mushroom supplements that are taking over the market and showing some amazing results. So whether you're looking for support for your brain and nervous system, immunity, sleep, gut health, or more, this really is for you. Personally, I've been using it to improve my sleep, and I found that I'm no longer waking up at 3 a.m. in the morning and having a great night's sleep. Dr. Marty Mushrooms focuses on the philosophy of prevention rather than cure, emphasizing the importance of incorporating these supplements into your daily routines. So for all of our expansive listeners, head over to DocMarty.com and use the code EXPANSIVE20 to get 20% off your very first order. That's EXPANSIVE20 for 20% off from your first order.
The sort of perspective that I hold as my kind of North Star in sacred business is this is business to serve the sacred. And the sacred is just another word for me for source or for, you know, everything that is. And so if I zoom out and I look at life and the ecosystem of life, and like you look at life, life is always growing towards coherency and wholeness and organization. And so all natural systems grow towards harmony. And so there's this generative force that underlies all of life. And that generative force is inherently benevolent and loving. And so when, for me, sacred business is, if I look at my business, how can my business and myself, whatever it is that we build together, we're building it in service to the sacred, and we're leveraging that natural generative force that exists within and without everything, which almost acts like a slipstream. It's a propulsive force. And so when you align all of your business efforts with wholeness, with the sacred, then naturally it becomes this holistic, sustainable kind of unfolding that blesses all stakeholders. And so for me, sacredness and success are not separate. Success, if you were to attune to the quality of success, you would find sacredness within that. And so for me, success, like true success, is one that is very sacred.
Welcome again to the latest episode of The Expansive. It's fantastic to have you along again. My name is John Sarné. I am an author, a keynote speaker, and a futurist. And I'm usually joined by Eric Kruger, but he's unfortunately not with us today because he's traveling. And it's a great thing because he's traveling more and more and getting busier and busier. So it's wonderful to watch his career rise. We have a really cool episode today. It's called The Soul of Business. And I'll be introducing our guests really soon. But very quickly, I just wanted to give a massive shout out to us being nominated again for the Podcast of the Year by APFA, which is the African Podcast and Voice Association, nominating us to become kind of hopefully to win the Podcast of the Year this year. We will link all of the details in our bio, and it is a voting system. So we would absolutely love for you to vote. And for the next sort of few weeks, we'll be running a social media campaign to gather as many votes as we can. It would be a really awesome, awesome thing to have a second award for the podcast. And it's always so great to be recognized for the work that we're doing. And before I introduce our guests, we're going to just talk very quickly about expansive insights as we do every week, talk about something latest and greatest that's happening with technology out there. And the reason I really wanted to talk about this today, because it's really close to my heart. And I've spoken before on the podcast about the Earth Species Project, where they are now breaking down language of many animals around the world, including whales and dolphins. And they reckon by the end of this year, we'll all be able to understand our dogs and cats and pretty much all animals. But some research has just come out from the Colorado State University, where they've been tracking elephants. And they've now started to realize that elephants have names and nicknames for each other. And while tracking this, realizing the complexity of the social structures that are happening there. And I'm just so incredibly excited about this, because in our last episode, we spoke about plant concerts, where we're starting to see concerts pop up around the world where people are synthesizing the sound of different plants and playing that in a concert format, where we're actually listening to the plants sing their melodies, which is just such a fascinating and mind-blowing topic for us to realize that everything around us is sentient and everything around us is intelligent, giving us messages, speaking to us, but because of our maybe lack of awareness in many ways, have been kind of stuck in thinking that they're dumb or aren't actually communicating. And again, this research is showing more and more of the sentient and soulfulness of everything around us. And this really gets me excited for us treating our plant world and our animal world in much more respectful ways over the next coming years because of our understanding of who they are, and what they're communicating with us. So a really exciting, expansive insight for me to really unpack the intelligence of the world around us. So that's the expansive insight. And very quickly, if you haven't checked out the Earth Species Project, I just cannot recommend it enough. The guys that are doing the research around this are giving keynotes around what they've discovered with dolphins and what they're discovering with whales and the complexity of what's going on there. And for example, dolphins have a word for innovation. And when they ask to be innovative, they're able to do tricks that they've never done before because of the word and request of them being innovative. So just so much exciting things happening there with AI, looking at pattern recognition and pattern repetition. And I'm just excited for it. But let's get on to today's pod. And today's pod, as I explained earlier, is called The Soul of Business. And this is really an incredible idea and concept that Rowan, who's one of the guests today, which I'll introduce now, started to speak to me about a few years ago, I think, maybe a year or 2 years ago, where he started to talk to me about divine business. And I remember thinking to myself, ooh, I don't know if my clients want me to call business divine in any way. I mean, I've clients in the Saudi government and the Abu Dhabi government. Those guys aren't really keen on hearing anything divine. But as I've started to unpack this further for myself, I've started to realize the incredible importance of words that we're able to bring into things that are usually stale, to bring them to life, to give them an energy that they otherwise wouldn't have had. And we often think of business in quite a stale outcome-based process, always focused on efficiencies and profitability. But as we'll unpack in today's podcast, our guests today really want to bring a deeper realization, a deeper understanding of the intelligence of this thing that we call business. So without further ado, a guest, Rowan Bletcher, that's been with us before twice, we call him a friend of the expansive, is back again with us. And he's brought with him his co-pilot in this process called Ellie Salen. I hope I said that correctly. And please very quickly say hello to our guests. Wonderful to have you on. And please explain who you are and what you do very quickly for our guests to catch up on you. Rowan, do you want to kick it off for us?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, John. Super good being back here again. We miss Eric, but this might be a little bit more of a settled conversation now. Less banter, but more settled. Great to be back and great to have, I think, importantly, a channel that you are making available, John, to talk about some of the more pioneering peripheral ideas in business that otherwise might not get airplay. So appreciate the platform. Yeah, I'm a business romantic, you know. I believe that business is a beautiful thing. I think that businesses are beautiful in and of themselves. I am very attracted to the riddle of performance and how organizations all solve this riddle in a beautiful, curious, adventurous way. So you can hear from my language, I have a very technicolored view of business, and soul is one very, very cool addition that has come into play as a result of my collaboration with my friend and confidant and compatriot Ellie Salen. So Ellie, maybe a quick intro from you.
Thank you so much. And I agree with every word that you say, Rowan, that I love business. And to me, business is a devotional practice and has been the greatest teacher in my life. And my business, I truly consider to be my most cherished ally. And my 20 years of business experience, all the highs, all the lows, combined with my spiritual curiosity, have really led me to where I am today, which is where I truly believe that if we partner with our businesses as sentient, intelligent beings with their own purpose, their own potentiality, as a combination of our genius and the power in our business, we really can shape a world that works for everybody. And I'm so excited to be able to talk about this more and more, because I can feel like a growing interest in this globally.
I love that. I think it's, you know, I remember one of my coaches said to me once, when you set up a business, it becomes an entity in itself. And this entity has now been birthed by you and your founders and co-founders, and it's living. It's a breathing process that's moving ideas and concepts and people through it. And I love that, to think about it as a sentient being given birth through your ideas and through your actions into the sort of physical form. I love that framing. But Ellie, could you just tell us, what do you do? Like, what is your exact sort of like thing that you do?
Yeah, so I have a consulting business, and I've had that for a few years, really working with founders and entrepreneurs on helping them build sacred businesses, successful sacred businesses. And then in the last year, I've taken over a teaching academy, an online teaching academy that teaches visionary founders specific energy technologies with which they can tap into their business's unique potentiality and blueprint.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
So it's kind of the
whoa,
how.
Whoa, 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 stop there. What did you just say? That's incredible. Can you give me an example of one of those tools of that they could utilize to connect with the sacredness of their business?
Yes, it's kind of the how of sacred business. Like, once you're on board with the idea that your business has its own sentience, its own presence, its own potentiality, the next question is, well, how do I connect with that? How do I read that? How do I tap into it and activate it? And really, all of the practices that I teach fall under the umbrella term of attunement. You know, how do you attune to a consciousness that is very different to yours? And you have to kind of train yourself to do that. So I've devised a training system that teaches founders and entrepreneurs how to attune to the energy field of their business, and how to actually like explore the internal workings of their business, to explore it from the inside out, to diagnose hidden problems that you can't see, you know, when you're trying to connect with your mind or your intellect. So to diagnose hidden problems and to identify latent potential, and how to actually shape outcomes in tandem with the soul of your business.
Wow. Okay. That's fascinating. As you're talking, I'm thinking about my own business, and I'm like, hang on a second. I need to be hugging my, like, just in my mind's eye, right? Just hugging and being loving. And I don't think I've ever done that. Yes. As you're talking about it, I'm realizing that in my mind's eye, it's been this dry piece of paper that I have actually maybe even been dismissive to in some ways, you know?
Yes.
But Rowan, if I come back to you, I love that you call yourself a romantic. Yes. I mean, you've just made me like, oh my God, I didn't realize I'm not doing this. But I love that you call yourself a business romantic. And a lot of your language is led by, I imagine, not led, but infused with David Blythe. Was it David Blythe that you went on that course with? That
David
walking,
White.
Like poetry. Who was
David
it?
White.
David White, yes. And he's that exact, like, I can feel that, like, coming through your language, that really beautiful, deep philosophical ideas that really infuse magic into the world that we live in. So explore a little bit more about that and let us know how you and Ellie met and what are you guys doing with the soul of business? What's the story there?
Yeah, cool, John. I'm so glad you had that response, because that's the response that Ellie and I hope for, is that people recognize, like a flash of blinding light, that this business isn't a mechanical, dry, gray, dull thing. It's actually something for you to be in concert with. And once that neural connection gets made, what Ellie and I, and we'll unpack this now, what becomes apparent is that there is a whole new dimension to business that is suddenly on the table. And with that dimension comes tools. And with those tools come efficiencies and profitability, which is how you started off at the beginning. And I'm glad you used that language, because Ellie and I are actually all about efficiencies and profitability. It's just that we talk about it in a different way. We use different language. But at the end of the day, Ellie and I are as competitive as anyone else could be in the business realm about business success. And so if I could rewind back to December, I went to visit my family in Boston, and they're not an overly communicative family, and it was winter there, and there's a basement in these houses. And so I basically just holed myself up there in Boston for 2 weeks and journaled about what it is that I think business wants globally. And what I settled on was the fact that the one thing that businesses all have in common, despite their differing approaches, is that businesses want success. Success is a cornerstone of the business community. And so I started thinking to myself about what was going on in the world around success. And what I'm realizing is that success is lopsided. It comes from the early 1900s where big factories started being built to manage fossil fuels at scale. And suddenly this blueprint of a business was birthed, that it should be this long, slow, gray, dull thing. And most business blueprints actually are still that. That's 125 years later. So I started thinking to myself, hold on, what's missing here? And what's missing for me and Ellie is this idea of sacredness, which counterbalances the success. So the success is vital and important, but it'll dry you out and make you callous and hollow over time unless there's something special put into the mix. And so, you know, sacredness is a bit of a word that elicits a response. But the truth is, John, that we all know sacredness. We've all been to a church and felt sacred. We've all been to a rock concert and felt sacred. We've all been to a sports event and felt sacred. We've all been to a christening and felt sacred. So we know it, but we just don't allow it into business. And it is the thing that makes the success sustainable, I suppose, and even compelling.
Worthwhile. Yeah, sustainable.
Worthwhile. Exactly.
Yeah, you know what it sounds like, Rowan? It sounds like you're bringing in the twin or the necessary puzzle piece to the masculine, because it feels like, you know, the business has always been this outcome-based, like electric charge, but no magnetism. And if you think about the body, you have an electromagnetic body, and it's this combination of masculine and feminine that allows for that charge of life to happen. But when it's two on one side and it's two lopsided, which is kind of masculinely lopsided, which is always about drive yourself to any, like do whatever you can for that outcome, which is not nurturing at all in any way. In fact, you get to the end, you're burnt out, unhappy, and most probably got a disease, unfortunately. And so it's this combination that you're talking about. And I love it because the sacredness really is about, I don't know, the life-giving idea here to give it the sustainability. So love what you're saying. I've been listening to Dr. Zach Bush around this concept as well. And you're now bringing it into a business term, which is, I have not thought about this at all. And I absolutely love it. Ellie, please unpack further.
Yes. The Zach Bush reference is really good because he's always looking at things as systemically. So the sort of perspective that I hold as my kind of North Star in sacred business is, this is business to serve the sacred. And the sacred is just another word for me for source, or for, you know, everything that is. And so if I zoom out and I look at life, the ecosystem of life, and you look at life, life is always growing towards coherency and wholeness and organization. And so all natural systems grow towards harmony. And so there's this generative force that underlies all of life. And that generative force is inherently benevolent and loving. And so when, for me, sacred business is, if I look at my business, how can my business and myself, whatever it is that we build together, we're building it in service to the sacred, and we're leveraging that natural generative force that exists within and without everything. Which almost acts like a slipstream. It's a propulsive force. And so when you align all of your business efforts with wholeness, with the sacred, then naturally it becomes this holistic, sustainable kind of unfolding that blesses all stakeholders. And so for me, sacredness and success are not separate. Success, if you were to attune to the quality of success, you would find sacredness within that. And so for me, success, like true success, is one that is very sacred.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. And I think we've almost been punishing our businesses It's like weird. Now that you're thinking about it as a sentient being, it's almost like we've been beating the living daylights out of our business. And it's a skinny little, almost finished. It's like it's malnourished in many ways. And we've just been beating it consistently, trying to get the most out of it, which is, again, a very immature, masculine way of approaching any sort of topic in many ways. Roman, how is this being received? How are you introducing it? What's been the feedback? Just give us a little bit about the practicality of you guys introducing into this business world.
Yeah, that's such a good question. Thanks, John. John, I have picked up some disharmony in my own business over the last 5 years. And through doing work like this, what I picked up was that I was not expressing my true, full, unedited opinion of business into the world. I was muting myself. I was scared about what clients might feel if I started using the word sacred. And so that was the disharmony that I picked up through my own attunement. And so what happened during my time in purgatory in my parents' basement in Boston is that I just decided to take my step forward and express myself fully. So I am watching the market, and I guess it's sort of just like you were, some cautious interest. But I'm actually not paying too much attention to it because I know this is my truth, and I know that this is a massive, massive idea. Like, John, if you can imagine all the businesses of the world in some degree finding sacredness in their business, can you imagine what the needle-moving effect would be? It would be literally game-changing. So I'm really punting this idea hard because I know deep, 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 deep in my soul, that this is the right thing for me to talk about. And it also is the tonic that most businesses, if not every business, needs, including yours, John, which is a very conscious business. But not even that business had found the ability or the awareness to say, hold on, look at you, johnsinar.com. You're a beautiful thing. Let's talk about what wholeness and harmony are for your business. And so that's been my experience in the world. But what I do find happening is that it activates life force. And life force is important because in the sacred and the success twinning, which I'm totally going to use, thank you, John, the life force is what gets depleted when there's too much success or too much pushing towards success. And actually, the sacredness brings the life force in, which is this beautifully important lifeblood in the human beings that make up a business, which is really where performance is generated from. So I'm finding it intriguingly interesting in the market, but I'm not paying too much attention.
It's interesting because whenever I do speak in an audience, they obviously hire me as a futurist, but ultimately I'm talking about consciousness. And I can't arrive with the cap of consciousness because then they're expecting some monk to arrive with beads around my neck and no shoes. And really, you've got to arrive like in their language format and then surprise them in what they truly actually want, but are too maybe shy to ask for it, think that it's not in the right place to ask for it. And what's funny is that my most successful audience members are females because they understand what I'm saying. And often my message is kind of lost on masculine audiences. Like when I speak to like insurance or very techie audiences, they're looking at me like befuddled a little bit, like, I don't know what you, like, why are you bringing this in here? This is not why we're actually here. So Ellie, talk about the integration of this message into your clients and what does that look like? And what is the feedback and who are your perfect clients to work with? And what are some of the success stories? So I know I put in 12 questions there, but answer which ones you're comfortable with.
I'll answer as many as I can. Yes. So most of my clients are women. Probably 75% of my clients are women. My ideal client is somebody who's open-minded, open-hearted, and willing. Because to me, willingness is like the most powerful energetic for somebody to move forwards and to build and grow. Because really, it's always about you're standing at the threshold of what you know and what you don't know. And a lot of these kind of ways of thinking about business are really, you know, can be quite challenging and confronting. And so to me, if somebody is willing and open-hearted, then miracles can occur. Like, it's really miraculous. And I've had unbelievable success stories in my clients where the more that they build up the skill, because when you train yourself to attune to your business, I mean, you can get very, very macro with it, or very micro with it rather. You know, micro, you can really learn how to go right into the heart of your structures, your offerings, your products, your financials, everything, and really look at what's actually happening inside that living ecosystem of your business. And you can make adjustments. And because you're working in a slightly different dimension to kind of conventional business, where you're working really energetically with your business, those effects take place very quickly. And so typically what I see in my clients is like a real increase in their sovereignty within their leadership. So their leadership style completely changes. Their creative process completely changes. Everything is more streamlined and more powerful. Their personal power exponentially grows, which then means that their revenue increases, but it does so sustainably. So they're really building a healthy ecosystem upon which they can then scale their business in a way that they just haven't been able to do before. And it's just incredible to watch.
John, let me add one thing to that. Just say a business is making a critical hire. You can consider that decision as a should I hire, should I not hire? That's the cognitive intellectual view. And it might work, but it's probably got some problems around bias, around lack of information, around blah, blah, blah. If you attune to that kind of decision at this level of practicality, the quality of how you relate to that decision gives you a chance of making a good decision literally hundreds of percent greater. So this isn't some woo-woo thing. Attunement is a seriously intelligent, highly evolved way of making choices. And, you know, when I say it leads to bottom line, rands and cents, dollars and cents, I mean that. This is really how people should think about soulfulness and attunement. It's not some kind of freaky peripheral point of view. And I think in 10 years' time, this will be very amongst the mainstream.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about cell for cell. Apparently the heart's cellular structure is 10 times more intelligent than the brain cellular structure. And just the intensity of understanding the power source that's coming from the heart is really only becoming available to us now as we start to explore it in many ways. And I think to be able to bring executives into the state of being more mindful and more like just having a nervous system that's a bit calmer allows them to make better decisions. And in that process of making better decisions, are less anxious about the outcomes, which means automatically the cycle becomes one that is like feeding itself, right? And it's an upward spiral in many ways. Rowan, tell me a little bit about, like, if you introduce this to a CEO and then allow the CEO to envisage this himself or herself, or do you bring it in an executive team that then filters down? So give me some, like, I want to know more practicality around who and what you're working with around this concept.
Yeah, great question. I generally start with the CEO because with a conversation as nuanced as this, an audience of one is a little bit more manageable. And I also want to gauge whether the CEO has a system over which they preside, meaning a business, that is actually amenable to it. Because, you know, one of the things Ellie and I talk about is the sense of divine timing, where something happens when it's meant to happen, and one has to just accept that. So I don't accept that all businesses are open immediately to the idea of soul, but if a CEO is, then it's an entirely new game that we're playing. And so much more. In fact, everything is then on the table. And with that CEO's blessing, generally the trickle down happens quite easily and quite quickly. But there is a readiness to this, John, that I think is worth noting. And Eliel and I don't assume that everyone is ready. Like if we were to come and work with your business, the readiness would be immediate, right? Because you've done the work in this territory and it would be no real leap for you. But for, you know, large manufacturing business of 25,000 people, that's a slightly different thing, except for this one point which I want to make, which is that there's a lot of business pain out there. And pain makes people, I think change is either driven by ambition or pain, ambition or suffering. And I think there's a lot of suffering in businesses that are forcing people to look into different places as to where they're going to get their improvements from and their elevations from. And, you know, that's where people who are pioneering this idea like Ellie and myself come into play.
I love the fact that, you know, the business pain also for me, as I've seen, is they've tried everything. And even in times of success, they don't seem to be happy. And it's just never enough. That's what the thing is. It's like, okay, you made this quarter, well done, get on back onto that train and keep moving. And I think people are exhausted. I just think people are fatigued and exhausted, and they keep rehashing old ideas with new marketing and new branding, internal comms, and it's just not working anymore. I think people are just like, you know what? We've seen this train. We've seen the show. It's like boring to us now, and we're looking for something deeper. I'm really excited to see how you guys take this message out there. Any ideas about spreading this message even wider? Like, are you guys writing a book? Or are you starting a podcast? Are you doing talks? Like, besides being on this podcast, what else are you doing with it?
Well, the first thing we're doing is co-hosting a retreat.
Okay, good.
Well, we have all the plans. So we talked about everything that you said. And we're just starting at the end of this year, holding our first retreat, co-hosting a retreat, which will be small and exclusive. But with regards to going forwards, the way that I would always tap into that is I would always look at that co-creative relationship between Rowan, myself, his business, and my business. And I would attune. I would attune to that co-creative.
So wait, can I just stop you? I think for some of our listeners, what do you mean attune? Like, give us the practicality of a tune, because we have a lot of corporate execs that listen to our show and maybe are stuck in the old way of doing business, like most, like, and by no fault, this is the way it is. What do you mean a tune? What do you mean a tune?
Yeah, good question. So the definition of attunement is to step into a conscious, sympathetic relationship with a consciousness that is different to your own. For example, let's say that you have a plant in your house and every day you're just like chucking water on it. You're not really, you never look at the plant. It's just there. You chuck fertilizer on it occasionally. And then one day you notice, oh, the plant is really suffering. It's got brown leaves. I don't know what's going on with it. So you take the time to really look at the plant and you connect with it with your whole body. Attunement is not an intellectual pursuit. It's not something that you do mentally. It's a sensory, multi-sensory experience where you stand in front of that plant or that tree or your business and you connect with it outside of yourself. It has its own energy, you have yours. And in that relational field between you, like, that's where you can make all of these discoveries. So it's like how you would attune to your wife or your husband, instead of just sort of walking past each other like ships in the night at home. It's taking that moment to actually stand in front of them and see them as they really are, which requires presence. You have to be present in your own body and you have to be willing, and then you have to open your eyes and really look at that person. And it's the same with business. And so any time that I ever am looking ahead in my own business or in a collaboration like with Rowan, it would be, instead of figuring everything out mentally, I would really tune into that field of potential, that relational field, and really look at what is emerging, what wants to come alive here, and how can I clear the way for its emergence.
I love that explanation. And, you know, as you were explaining it, I realized that the minute I gave my business some sentient, I was already attuning to it in a different way.
Exactly.
Just by reformatting the thing. The thing then becomes something that you're giving a different attention to. This happened to me deeply with dogs about 7 years ago. I just somehow saw something in them and I can't unsee it. Their level of intelligence is way beyond any of our understanding. And I feel that. And I've just done it with my business inside my heart. I'm like, oh my God, it's like I can hold and nurture this business in a very, very different way. Rowan, do you have any? Yes, go ahead, Rowan.
Yeah, sorry. John, I have 2 points, just one a continuation of Ellie's and then one original point. The continuation of Ellie's is that the other way we could have done it is we could have gone, we're going to do a podcast, a retreat, we're going to get our articles published and write a book. But it would have been arbitrary and random, right? It's just like choosing off a list. But when we attune into how we are going to expand, we are having an entirely different conversation that might just produce one thing, which is the right thing. We are doing that because that's what has become apparent to us. So the wisdom that comes into this process is significant. The other thing that I wanted to say, which I've just lost my train of thought on, which I'm going to try and regain while I'm wasting time, but I might not be able to. So what I was saying, John, is that what is happening to you when you were reviewing your business is that you are expanding. John became bigger John by a percentage. And this is what happens when sacredness enters the room. You know, and again, like five of my 10 most sacred moments have been at Dave Matthews Band concerts in the front row, just feeling like the massive presence of his music. Now, my thinking is that the Rowan that was in that front row, I want that Rowan to be the guy who walks through my life all the time, and in particular, my business life. And so what I'm saying is that sacredness is not some random thing. It is a way of expanding ourselves to be bigger and better and wiser and sharper and more decisive and clearer in business, which is all the stuff that we want for ourselves. Ellie and I are just giving it a different shine and a different avenue, but it's still the bigger John. It's the bigger Roan. It's the bigger Ellie. And that's what matters to the world.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I often tell my audiences, this is not some sandal-wearing, lentil-eating Jesus bun idea, guys. This is now science. Like, can we get on with the fact that you think meditation is this hippy-dippy thing? It's not. It's like, here's Bloomberg, who does umpteen different documentaries on meditation, just as a practice, right? So executives always have this experience that, you know, I'll go into a therapist when I'm in trouble, or I'll go to a meditation retreat once a year, but then that's it. I'll carry on like this, you know, whatever, executive on the other days. I don't have time for that stuff, which is really the biggest problem that we're having. There's a disjointment there. Ellie, yeah, go on. But once you say what you want to say, is I also want to find out what tips would you both be giving some of our listeners of how to come more into attunement and how to engage with more sacred business for themselves, whatever size business they have. But please, before you answer that, Ellie, go ahead.
How can somebody take those first steps to attune to their business? You've kind of described it already. I think the first step is to see your business as its own entity with its own intelligence, its own presence, separate from yours, and crucially, its own reason for being, its own purposes, its own potentiality. So just like when you meditate, for example, and you go inwards and you explore your inner world and you start to touch into your purpose for being here, like that depth of purpose, why am I here? How can I serve? Your business holds the same level of purpose. And so simply realizing that your business exists outside of yourself, that it has its own reason for being here, and just your willingness to get to know your business, that immediately places you in relationship to your business. You're not merged. If you're merged with your business, you can't be in relationship to it. So simply kind of choosing to see it as its own entity and being in relationship to it is really the first and only step that you need to worry about in order to start making discoveries.
Oh, you know, you've just hit such a big nail on the head for me. Over the last few weeks, I've been talking about this practice I learned in Guatemala from my friend Gareth called becoming friends with the citizens of your kingdom. And the whole point of this game was, as a man, the king archetype is by far the most like one that's revered. You want to move into a king archetype. So you're more magnanimous, more patient, more powerful than ever before. But a good king has citizens that are at peace with each other. And the citizens in this story are your characteristics, your personality traits. And the game you play is when you identify when you're anxious, you name that anxiousness and you disassociate from it, where the anxiousness is not you, it's a character of you. And what you do with this anxiousness is you speak to it like you would a child and allow it to be heard and allow it to be seen. And the most amazing thing happens, it doesn't come back. And when it does come back, it's so very obvious that this aspect has arrived again. But what the most powerful aspect of it, and you just said it, it's not you. It's an aspect of you. And when you think about business in this way, when you can disassociate and then care for it and feed it and hear it and listen to it. And obviously these are abstract ideas, but this is the whole point of this, is that how do we bring more abstract ideas into this physical realm that we're in that allow the physical realm to be more seamless and more in flow in many ways. And it's this abstract approach that I've been applying to my own personality and my own kingdom that you're now adding another layer to it, which is business, which is just the most fascinating thing because this is what I've been doing anyway, but you just added a whole new beautiful layer to it. Rowan, any tips from you?
Yeah, so the unfortunate reality, John, is that there's not a lot of literature on this. And even the literature that's out there, it's not that practical yet. So I don't feel like this idea has fully landed in the realm, in the greater public realm, which is unfortunate, but it will take its time, you know. But so what I would say is anyone who's interested in this topic, go for a walk with your business, literally. Go for a walk and in your mind, have a conversation about what the nature of the dialogue is. And when you walk away from that conversation, ask yourself, how's my business doing? Because then you will have a very, very wisely, subtly, sensitively, insightfully formed view of this thing that you are in partnership with and who walks along next to you every day, loyally, shows up. That conversation could open an entire portal of newness and opportunity, at which point you can reach out to myself or Ellie to get some further guidance on it. But this is something that needs to be self-generated or initiated, I would say. Just go for a walk with your business and see what happens.
Yeah, it's just, oh man, I feel emotional actually, because you know, the first time you start to see this, you start to realize that it's been malnourished. It's just been malnourished, you know, aspects of your life were malnourished and business being such a massive part of it. Like, and I mean, you've seen that thing around Instagram that says, are you going to gym because you love your body or because you hate your body? And again, I did this workshop in Costa Rica around aspecting, and they called it the horse and rider aspecting game. And for 5 minutes, you spoke from the rider to your horse, from the mind to your body. And for 5 minutes, you spoke from your body to your mind. And you can't believe the level of frustration your body has had because it's never been heard. It's actually never been given a platform to speak what it feels like it needs to say. And it was just full of tears. I mean, the room was just blubbing with the next sort of 5 minutes of your body. And I imagine the same emotion from a business that's never been heard or never been asked to express itself in some way.
Yeah. And I think, Ellie, I'd love you to add your thoughts to this. But what happens, John, is not necessarily, regret about the neglect of your business as much as it's an appreciation of, holy smoke, I've got all this new stuff to work with, you know, so it's really much more about upside release than downside regret.
Well, I think it's the initial emotion until the nurturing begins. The initial emotion is that the dog's been left outside for the last 10 years. Like nobody's been caring for it and hoping that it just barks, you know. Anyway, Ellie, please jump in.
Well, I would just add to that, you know, your business loves you. Your business is, you know, when you work with business in this way, it's a very different consciousness to the human consciousness. And so it doesn't feel emotions in the same way that we do. Our businesses love us unconditionally, just like the sacred loves us unconditionally, because, you know, business is an aspect of the sacred, just like we are an aspect of the sacred. So your business is always holding a field of love and wholeness for you. It's very invested in your personal success and your happiness. And so in my experience, businesses are always delighted to make, kind of to establish that reciprocal relationship. And because they've been kind of waiting for us to work with them in that way. So that I find that really
comforting. Yeah, super comforting. You know, I talk about this rise in consciousness in some of my talks, and I talk about the fact that 200 years ago, 150 years ago, slavery was so normal. The slaves thought it was normal, and we gave no kudos to any of the slaves' emotions. It was like, obviously, just didn't have emotions in some way. And then 100 years ago, we didn't even want women to vote. And it was like there was protests when women were supposed to vote because we didn't give women the level of intelligence, I mean, far, far reaching more than us, but that sort of level of respect. And then 50 years ago, we had kids in factories working and thinking that these little Muppets don't have any emotions. I'm going to just get on with it. And as our consciousness rises, we realize that everything is sentient. And now the next phase is animals and then plants. And now you guys have just blown my mind open with business being another layer of this. This is so obvious now that you say this. This is consciousness rising to the point where, as Einstein says, you live a life as if nothing's a miracle, everything's a miracle. And this is now adding that layer to this once unthought of miracle process, which was business. And you really are adding a beautiful layer to it.
Yeah, it's actually, John, wonderful to just watch you in the window of my screen, because I've seen like a love for your business appear on your face that I've never seen before, you know?
Total.
And right at the point of like possible tears kind of thing. And that really is so emboldening for us, because this is the physical manifestation of what Ellie and I are trying to do at scale. And so imagine, you know, a million responses like yours and the trickle-down effect into society. Because at the end of the day, what business generally does largely is it shapes the citizens of the world. The workers of the world are the citizens of the world. And so if the citizens of the world are growing up and being shaped in a slightly more sacred way, then the knock-on effects into our society are myriad and material. And that's really what keeps Ellie and I doing our work. That's our purposefulness, is that the world will be better when business gets better. And we are hanging our hat on that idea.
So tell me, what does the partnership look like? What are you guys doing with it? Is it a specific domain that you're building together? Are you approaching clients together? So talk a little bit about the actual...
I'm basically a slave to Ellie's orders. That's how this is working. And she tells me what to do, and I obediently go and do that.
That's true.
It's very early stages. We are collaborating on a UK retreat in November, which Ellie and I are putting together now. The marketing materials will come out soon. But actually, this is just a collaboration. Ellie, you should answer this for yourself. But it's a collaboration of two minds coming together. And our IP is starting to form. Ellie's a little bit more on the discovery side. I'm a little bit more on the implementation side. But the baton handing is important for each of us, because we do reside in slightly different worlds. And I think, you know, Ellie's skill is to open people up. My skill is to turn that into performance and dollars and cents into the business world. But we have to talk all the same language and do the same stuff and be of the same school of thought. But that's how it's playing out at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, everything that you say and the way that I'm very careful about who I collaborate with, because it really has to be a match in terms of not just the person-to-person match, but also the business-to-business match, because your business has a soul and so does mine. And so I spend just as much time tuning into the soul of your business as I do to tuning into you and what you stand for. And so I am very careful about who I collaborate with. And then when I do, you know, I take this collaboration through the same creative process that I would do anything in my own business, which is a really looking at what is the potentiality, the highest potential that sits like as in the fulcrum between all of us, and how can I tap into that, or how can we tap into that together and make space for its unfolding. And these things take time, because every step that we take, we want that to be deliberate and conscious, and to do so in a way where what we build is sustainable and has longevity and really does have the power to scale and to touch as many lives as we can. And I know that sounds very lofty, but it's true. Like, I know the relationship I have with my business and the vision that sits between us is to take this work and to bring it to as many visionary founders as we can. And so when I met Rowan, it didn't feel like this. I wasn't surprised. I thought, here is somebody I can do this with. And so what we have together is, it's a long-term thing, and we're just at those very early liminal stages. And I love it. I'm very excited.
Well, I'm so grateful that you reached out, Rowan, to tell us about this. I mean, it's fundamentally changed my life, this question about the sentientness of my business. And I feel like I have a bigger responsibility to it, as I do to anything that's sentient in my life. And I went bankrupt, you know, when I was 31. And I kind of understand why now. I kind of get my head around the idea of why I went bankrupt. Like, there was only extraction in my mind. There was nothing. There was no other idea that was going through my mind. That was what business told me I was supposed to do, and come in there, sweat it, extract from it, do what you need to do, and keep moving, you know? And yeah, it kind of played out as it should have, because of the lack of awareness around the sentientness of it. Thank you so much for this incredible. I mean, I was not expecting this at all. I thought you're going to come and give, you know, this is fantastic. Before we close out, because we've reached that time now, do you want to say any closing remarks and before I read us out?
I'll follow yours, Ellie.
You're just trying to buy some time. I would just say that it has been a real privilege to have this conversation and to be able to speak to your listeners and for the three of us to have this conversation. I find it to be a miracle that, like, all these opportunities keep opening up to have this conversation. I'm very committed and very devoted to this cause. And I just want to really express my gratitude. And for anybody listening to this who this really sparks something in them, I would say heed that call, because actually the soul of your business, as in I'm speaking to the listener, may be tapping you on the shoulder through having listened to this conversation, because that's how it works. So heed the call and take those steps.
Absolutely. You're beautiful. It absolutely is tapping you on the shoulder saying, hey, see me. Yeah.
Yeah. What I would say is, as a direct message to all the business people of the world who I serve tirelessly because I choose to and want to, and who I have so much respect for, hope for more. Hope for more from business. It is bigger, better, juicier, more remarkable than anyone has any idea about. Just be open to business being a really fantastic global institution. And if you can get there, then all kinds of miracles are going to visit upon you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I mean, this has really been a very rich and nourishing conversation. I thank you both for making the time to come on to The Expansive. I'm sure our listeners are absolutely going to love this podcast. As we close out today's episode, we usually close off with a quote of the week. But I wanted to not do a quote of the week and just share, without getting emotional, what Zach Bush shared on his interview recently. And he said he watched people come back from death because he was a doctor at hospice. And people would leave and go to the other side and then come back. And he was also a doctor that gave birth to children. And he said the look in the eyes of both those people was exactly the same. It was one of deep trust, deep, deep knowing and trust. And I just thought that was it changed my mood actually when I heard that. And I realized that all the things that I wasn't trusting. And just a closing remark on really the ability for us to trust this process, that's already an incredible miracle for us just to be here this far away from the sun and the moon, just to make life just right. And just right that the food just makes it. This is all just an incredible simulation that we're in, just to be grateful for it. So thank you so much for everybody listening to this week's podcast. This week's episode was produced by Robin Dunford and audio engineered and edited by Gerald Kent. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. anywhere you get your podcasts. We've got a great episode for you next week where we're going to be talking about 10 of the most important trends that we could be thinking about as executives and leaders that are going to be affecting our businesses and most probably ourselves and many of our children's as well. And just in case you miss us during the week, head over to our socials, Instagram and TikTok and even LinkedIn, and stay entertained with clips and quotes from all the good stuff that we make for you throughout the week. We love interacting with you in the expansive community. And From me, John Sarnay, and from Eric Kruger, who's on a plane right now, be expansive and stay expansive. Ciao.